I want to read to you from the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 24. Romans 9, 14 through 24. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I have compassion on whomever I have had, I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me, why does he still find fault? And for who has who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay, and from the same lump make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make power his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Some time ago, a preacher told me about a note that he received, a note that I found the content of to be somewhat disturbing. A woman complained that her husband wasn't giving her the affection she deserved, and so she kicked her husband out and brought in a boyfriend. Now that sin doesn't justify sin, apparently doesn't matter to her. It's just of no consequence. In Romans 3 and 8, we read that Paul saying, why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as were slanders were reported as saying, their condemnation is just. That what is more disgusting is that she described herself in this note as a Christian and claimed that the boyfriend showed up 2 days after she prayed to God about the situation. And so, what do you think she claimed? She claimed that God wanted her to commit adultery. The fact is that God does not support sin. Apparently this didn't seem to matter to this woman. We know in James chapter 1, verse 13, James said, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. The preacher bluntly told her that she was sinning, both in her actions and in blaming God for her sins. And you know what her reply was? She didn't feel guilty, because it was all her husband's fault. That's right. Kind of reminds me of Proverbs 30 and verse 20. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. I just can't help but wonder, how can people be so blind? Isaiah, though, asked why God caused Israel to stray. But look at this. In Isaiah 63 and verse 17, why have you made us stray from your ways and hardened our heart from your fear? Return for your servants' sake the tribes of your inheritance. Now, just a minute now. We just read something here about God not tempting man to sin. And we know that this statement definitely sounds contradictory. But we know that God himself has no sin. In 1 John 1 and verse 5, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. But how do we explain this? There are many similar statements found in the Bible. If you'll look with me at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, beginning with verse 37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Well, we know what Isaiah is talking about. We know what he's talking about. And I think the answer is in this question. Which came first? Which came first? The chicken or the egg? We always think about that. Well, the first thing was not God encouraging people to stray. No. The first thing was the people strayed. And the further they went on and on and on, God just let them go. John mentioned people who did not believe in Jesus. And he said, why? Listen to it in John 12:42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why? They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Isaiah definitely mentioned the fact that Israel was sinning. In Isaiah 63 and 10, back in our context, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. In fact, Isaiah says they sinned for a long time. Look at this, Isaiah 64, beginning with verse 5. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We will fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. The phrase "made us to err" or "caused us to stray" is from the Hebrew word, and it simply means err, wander, go astray. It's the idea of being lost. Okay? Now, while the English implies that they're forced to do this, the Hebrew implies an allowance. That is, he suffered them to do this. Not encouraged, but suffered. So the question is this: whose fault is it that Israel strayed? Well, Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's your answer right there. But Paul repeatedly said that God gave the Greeks over to sin. Turn to Romans, first chapter, if you will, please. We're going to touch three different verses here in this context. Notice he says in verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Then verse 26, for this reason God gave them up. You see a recurring theme here? To vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Romans 1 verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now, what do we notice here? We notice that this was only after the Greeks continued to push further and further into sin. That's what we're looking at. This was God's response to their sins. And also, we read about something else in response to sin. And that is God sending a deluding influence. Now let's look at that over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, listen carefully. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all, notice, they all may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now the question there is, which came first? The delusion or the lack of love for the truth? You see it. Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. If they didn't love the truth, what does God allow them to do? He allows them to believe a lie. He allows it. Sometimes we wonder why some of our dear friends or maybe even our relatives are caught up in some denomination and the doctrines that are taught. And we think, how come they can't see through that? Why do they swallow that hook, line, and sinker? Well, here's the answer right here. Because they did not receive the love of the truth. That's why. And they have fallen into strong delusion. And they believe the lie. When people insist on sinning, God gives people over to what they demand. Think about that. Think about it. In the 81st Psalm, Psalm 81, verse 11 through 13, my people will not heed my voice. Israel would have none of me. Now, what did God do? So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, and that Israel would walk in my ways. Did you see this? If you really want to sin, God won't stop you. God won't stop you. If you're making up your mind that you're going to do something, and you know that God doesn't approve of it, don't expect Him to stop you. Because you're going to keep deluding yourself into thinking, it's okay, until pretty soon, hey, it is okay. Because you found some reason that you think is logical, and you can delude yourself into believing it. And you know, naturally, the question that comes is why? Why does God allow us to do that? Well, in Deuteronomy 13, beginning of verse 1, I think there might be an answer here. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he says to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you. What? What's he testing? To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. And you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. But this prophet prophesied something and it came to pass. So we got to do what he says. Let's go off and worship these idols. No. If you love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your heart, I mean, you won't do that. You'll see through that immediately. But if you want to become an idol worshiper, you got all the justification you need. That's worked for me. But you notice in Hosea, we have the words that Ephraim, Hosea 4, verse 17, I'm sorry, that Ephraim is joined to idols. Now listen, let him alone. Why? Because Ephraim has chosen to be joined to idols, let him have it. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. And her rulers dearly love dishonor. But you know, sometimes God lets the wicked be wicked. And he used it to accomplish his will. Pharaoh, good example. Pharaoh. Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 18, remember, he has mercy on whom he finds, whom he had wills, and he hardens whom he wills. And why does he still find fault? Who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? You know, God easily could have raised up any man to rule over Egypt. Easily. But God selected this man because of his character. Why? To give God opportunity. That's why. God knew in advance that Pharaoh would be stubborn. Exodus 11:9 tells us, but the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And indeed they were. They were. And notice, God let the Israelites follow after astrology. In Acts 7, verse 42, then God turned and gave them to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the prophets. Did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? They worshiped the host of heaven. Why? Why did they do this? Look at Acts 7, verse 41. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hand. They wanted idols, and so they had them. We also see that God, in Acts 14, allowed the nations to go their own way. In Acts 14, verse 15, he said, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations, now mark this, in bygone generations, allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Now, he dealt with them, some of them directly and severely. But God allowed it. Why? Because they chose to do it. Chose to turn away from the living God. We read about God hardening Sihon so that he would be destroyed in Deuteronomy 2 and verse 30. Look, Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through. For the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate that he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day. The Canaanites. Were encouraged to think that they could destroy Israel. Look at Joshua 11, beginning verse 19. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them, and that he might receive, they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. But we also see God using nations to punish Israel for its sins. In 2 Samuel 24 and verse 1, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Now, just a minute. This was something God didn't want done. How did he do this? We turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and the first verse. Notice how it was done. Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. That's who was behind it. God allowed it to happen, yes. But who was behind it? Who's the instigator, if you will? Well, it was Satan. It was Satan. When Israel became corrupt, God deceived the people. Look at Jeremiah 4 and verse 10. Then I said, ah, Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, for as the sword reaches to the heart. Now, how did God do that? How did he do it? Well, look at Ezekiel 14, beginning with verse 6. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel, of the stranger who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced the prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. And they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired, that the house of Israel may no longer stray, nor be profaned any more with their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, says the Lord God. What was this say? God allowed false prophets to say what they wanted to do. Yeah. But notice, he allowed them to, and then turned around and punished them for their lies, including all the people that listened to him. How could he do such a thing? Well, let's turn over to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29 and verse 9. Pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, not with wine, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep and closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely, the seers. It wasn't hard for God to do this because it's what the people wanted. It's what they wanted. Isaiah says in Isaiah 30, and beginning verse 8, now go write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and he shall break it like the breaking of a potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found among you its fragments, a shard to take fire from the hearth, or to take water from the cistern. The people just basically did what they wanted to do. And God said, okay, go ahead. In Jeremiah 7:24, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts. Now get this. And went backward, not forward. Went backward. Actually, Isaiah. Well, I'm going to stop just a second here. I want to deal with this. God gives people the truth, but it is in a form that the wicked won't accept. Think about that. He gives the same truth to all of us, but the wicked will not accept it. Isaiah, for instance, was sent to teach people what they didn't want to hear. I dealt with that in a lesson a couple weeks ago. But look at Isaiah 6, begin verse 10. Make the heart of this people dull, their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses without a man, the land utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Now this is getting into some of our daily Bible reading, some of the things we've been reading in there. And so that's the reason why I came up with this lesson. But anyway, notice in all this that God's plans are carried out. It's the people who fooled themselves. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 5:21, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and not see, and who have ears and hear not. What does this say? God let people make their own false conclusions. Why? Because they didn't want the truth. In Jeremiah 44, again verse 16, as for you, the word that you have spoken to us by the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. That's it. That's what the people said. We will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and princes, and the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food. We were well off and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings, we have lacked everything and been consumed by the sword and famine. You see? God let them have what they desired. And that's where they went. But notice, God sent the Messiah knowing full well that he would be rejected. Why? He knew the minds of the people. That's why. He knew the minds of the people. In Isaiah 8, begin verse 14, he will be as a sanctuary but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both house of Israel, both the houses of Israel, as a trap and snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. I think we all recognize that the Jews stumbled over the truth. Romans 9:32-33, because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stone of stumbling, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." What was the problem? Well, the problem was they didn't obey God. 1 Peter 2, verse 7. To you believe he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumbled, being disobedient to the word, to which also they were appointed. And thus, we see God's plan come to fruition. But God uses people and uses their character for or against them. That's the idea of Romans 9:18. He has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. Now, what is this saying? Well, it's not saying that God forces people to be stubborn or unyielding. He presents things in such a way that the wicked refuse it and the righteous flock to it. Look at Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." This is the reason why the gospel is preached. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, through the wisdom of the world, the world didn't know God. It didn't know God. But it pleased God, listen, through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That's it. What really comes down to is God picked a method that the world would reject. That's it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22-29, notice, the Jews seek a sign and the Greeks seek wisdom. What did Paul and the other apostles preach? Christ crucified. And they said, "No, we don't like it. We don't like it." But the same message brings different response because of the hearts of those hearing it. As we notice in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's what we have. What does this say about us? If we ask for sinful things, we might just get it. If we insist on doing wrong, well, it might just be the easier path. And if we do, it will be no one's fault but our own. Period. We can't blame anybody else for it. We need to pray that we do not wander. As the psalmist said in Psalm 141, verses 4 and 5, "Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let not my head refuse it. For still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. And also in Psalm 119, 10 and 11, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin. That's what we have to do. Remember, the key is love the truth above everything else.